GBB Studios, 1240 on your dial. It's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. That's Al Barbarino going to sing for you.
Oh, the Spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. Take the time to ask Him, He will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that He loves us, and let's is filled with fear. Turn it over to sweet Jesus. Watch your worries disappear. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find.
I'm John Palmer.
I'm Anthony Chiffo.
And today is for men only. Men only. Women, if your husbands are around, drag them to the radio. This is for men only because we're going to focus on a men's ministry.
Today exemplifies that real men love Jesus.
And have the guts to follow him. That's what we're talking about. They're going to cross the goal line. It's Super Bowl weekend. And we're going to do a Super Bowl weekend for men alone. So, ladies, if you don't like the Super Bowl, get your husband onto the couch.
And John and I are just two kids with our hearts filled with love for Jesus, and we want to spread that love throughout the area, throughout the state, and throughout the world. And we got two other kids with us that want to spread that love also.
Steve DeStanti and Barry Champney. And later on, we're going to have a phone-in from Frank Bice, who was a deacon. And you're going to hear nothing but men today, ladies. And we know a lot of ladies listen. Don't be insulted. Just listen.
We need you, woman. We need you. Every good man behind every good man's a woman.
Well, what really prompted the show is that when you go to church, 75% of the people who go are women. And today, we're on a manhunt.
And real men love Jesus.
That's right. That's the theme of the day. And we, as you'll hear Al Barbarino finish singing, sorry, Al, that we're talking over your wonderful voice.
We love you, Al.
And you may not like us, but that's the way it is.
And this song was written by Paul Val Music, who just enjoyed a wonderful anniversary yesterday. So happy anniversary, Paul Val Music. God bless you.
And isn't it great that Al Barbarino allows us to talk over him? This is the only time in the world that Al Barbarino ever lets anyone talk over him.
And we love him.
And Steve and Barry, welcome.
Good morning, guys.
Welcome, welcome.
Hi, gentlemen.
So we want to ask you, what's this men's ministry all about? What are you talking about? A men's ministry? Are you being prejudiced against women? What's going on here? Barry?
Well really, John, what this is about is we're trying to help men who have a resistance to talk to one another. As you know, women have no hesitation about talking to each other about anything and everything on earth. Men, however, it's different. You know, we like to do things together. We're more action-oriented. We like to play sports. We like to watch sports. But to talk about the problems in our lives and the struggles that we have is really not considered very manly. And we are trying to help men to help one another. We're trying to recruit men to help one another as Catholics, as Christians, as men who understand that they can't do it on their own, and we need one another.
And Steve, how did you get into this?
Well, I just want to comment on Barry's comment. I think the men's ministry aspect of things, men are just wired different, that's for sure. You know, it's we're unfortunately wired to think that we can do everything on our own without help.
You mean we can't?
Well, you know, there's a saying, you know, man makes plans and God laughs, right? And, you know, the recession's been a very sobering experience for manhood in that the things that we hold on to, money, jobs, those sort of things that often define who a man is, have been taken away. And, you know, for us to be able to at least have a group of other men to be able to speak with and share what our challenges are is really where it's at. Women, I guess men are handicapped spiritually pretty much. I'll just go and say it. We are not wired to share and pray and do all those things. We're wired to conquer. We're wired to go out there and do our thing. And often, especially over the last couple of years, it's been challenging with all of the economic issues that have been going on.
You know, I go to a lot of prayer groups. And I go to men's prayer groups and women's prayer groups. And there's a difference. In a woman's prayer group, a woman will say, gee, I don't know why I'm here. And the girls would all come around, oh, honey, don't feel that way. We'll love you. In a men's prayer group, a man will say, I don't know why I'm here. And another man will say, we don't know why the hell you're here either. It's just a world sure. that we're wired differently, aren't we?
Yep. Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt.
But I'm finding more and more with men's prayer groups that there's a hunger for men to find their spirituality. And I think you guys are on the right road. And I thank you.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
Our pleasure to serve.
How did God touch you, Steve? How did he get you into this? How did he get you to say yes?
I'm a business owner. Mm-hmm. I'm a father. I'm a husband. And it probably started back in about 95, I'd say, when my daughter was born, my daughter Elizabeth. December 1st, she was born, and I was an EMT at that time. And I was on a call on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1995. And Christmas Day, I was a basket case. I was nervous. I later found out I was suffering from post-traumatic stress from, you know, the pressure of being a father, having a daughter, and not knowing what to do, being nervous about my own life at that point. At that point, I really turned to Jesus. I turned to the church to get answers. I wanted answers because I was God now to this little baby. I was her whole world. I was her protector. I was her guidance. I was everything, and I needed help. So at that point, I opened myself up, and I had, you know, a great pastor at the time, Father Bruce Powers, who engaged me in ministry and guided me, pushed me in a couple areas that I didn't want to be in. And then I found in business, it's the greatest tool in business to be able to really pray out the questions, pray out what it is that's going on in your business and dealing with employees. It's wonderful. At this point in my life, I can have very difficult discussions with people with love in my heart, with compassion, kindness. But even Jesus had to discipline his disciples. His apostles were sometimes sleeping on the job, as we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do? He spoke up, you know?
Yes, he did.
When, you know, right there in the temple where he throws the tables over. That's not some calm, mellow dude, is it?
I once went to a mass where the priest was reading the scripture about Jesus turning over all the tables, and he gave a one-line sermon, and it was, Jesus was having a bad day.
Or was it a good day? Because sometimes
was a good day.
When you have those kind of outbursts, they're really spirit-driven. They're the right thing. There's something that's growing inside of there, and it's our job, as men especially, to discern whether it's our own woundedness or if it's the truth. Because quite often, we're very reactive to things in life, which are really not things that are now, here and now. They're things that have happened to us in the past. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, in the men's ministry, we feel like we're dealing with four-year-olds in a sandbox sometimes. You know, we're like all little boys who are fighting just for sport.
Well, we have another boy who's joining us. I think Frank Bice is online. Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you guys doing?
Welcome, Frank. Thanks. I'm so happy that you're here. You look great today. I can see you. You really look good.
Hey.
Did you comb your hair?
I didn't, but don't tell anybody.
Frank, we've been talking about men alone, men and God, men relating to God. How did God touch you?
I think, you know, probably the best example came from my mom. You know, she used to have my brother and my sisters and me pray the rosary as a kid. And, you know, always we saw the faith in her. And then just by the way she lived her faith that planted that seed in us. And, you know, believe me, in that light, I still made a million mistakes. And like any other kid, was crazy. But
well, I know you, and I know you made a lot of mistakes.
Absolutely. But I think it came from my mom.
Frank, this is Anthony Chiffo. How you doing?
Anthony, how you doing?
I'm a silent fan of yours. I get your emails every day. I read your scriptures, and I follow you quite a bit, and I'm an admirer of you.
Oh, please. Thank you very much.
And you are an inspiration, Frank. You truly are, and really touched by Jesus.
So. Our listeners may not know that Frank was in a football accident and was paralyzed by tackling someone and turned his life over to God.
Yeah, I broke my neck 30 years ago.
Wow.
In a college football game and became a quadriplegic. But even in light of that, I still consider myself the luckiest person that's ever lived, really. Because everything I've ever prayed for has come true. I mean, I married my childhood sweetheart, I'm a deacon in the church, and still involved with sports, and lucky, very lucky.
Well,
so, it has nothing to do with me. It's all God's grace.
Yes, we know. And we've been talking about getting men involved in religion. And the two men here are part of the men's ministry. And they talk about all different ways to bring men closer to God. You got any ideas?
I think, you know, I think our most valuable asset is our time. And people actually like to give their time. And I think asking people to get involved in some kind of service projects, you know, helping people out, getting people, you know, and just inviting people, you know, asking guys, you know, to come to church and maybe help out by their physical presence so they feel valued. You know, I think people love to serve. They really do. And when people do serve, they feel great about themselves.
That's
I think,
what?
You know, I think the work that you guys are doing is awesome because you're making people feel like, and men especially, that you know, their presence means something. And when they show up, it's important. And it's win-win for everybody. You know, they feel good about going, and they get a chance to build up their faith.
And you know, this is a free will, a freewheeling kind of conversation. So you guys who are sitting here listening very politely, jump in with any thoughts that you may have. It includes you, Tony, as well.
Well, I was inspired by your statement, Frank, that you're the luckiest or blessed man alive. And that's very inspirational. And I noticed that when we interviewed Steve McDonald,
I believe
he said the same thing, Frank. And when I look back, I'm not this old, but didn't Lou Gehrig say that when he retired, that he was the luckiest man alive?
Yeah, I've seen that tape.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, what touched you guys to feel that way? Was there an individual instance that made you feel that way, or did Jesus just come into your life, and that's what makes you feel like the luckiest person alive?
Well, I'll tell you, Stephen McDonald is one of my heroes, to tell you the truth. His faith is just incredible. And but I would say, you know what, I don't, and Lou Gehrig, obviously, is just just an amazing hero and a role model for all of us, too.
I'm not that old, by the way, Frank.
No.
But he looks it.
But, you know, I think probably the common element, you know, if I don't belong in their category, certainly, but if there was a common element I think we'd all get to, it would be our ability to surrender.
Absolutely.
You know, just, all right, God, you win. What do we do? And then from there, I think once you surrender, you know, the gratitude can start to creep in. And then once you start to feel grateful, I think it's the foundation for faith, because then you expect something good to happen. And, you know, Jesus said, didn't say, let's pray that our problems go away. He said, pray for more faith. And I think if you can surrender, opens the door to gratitude, and that's the foundation for faith. And then it gets easy. All you got to do is hand it over.
You know, by the way, I should be calling you Deacon Frank.
No. Call me Frank, please.
I apologize.
No, please. Frank is good. If they find out I'm a deacon, they might kick me out.
But that surrender is so important. Steve was talking earlier about after a birth of a child, he had to surrender all of his anxiety about how do you become a father to a daughter? Hmm. How do you handle that? You know, and I've had that. I've got three of my own, and I have a stepson as well. Hmm. And how do you father them? All I know is I make every mistake in the book, but somehow or other Jesus corrects it. Huh? You know, Barry, you have any kids?
Yeah, I do. I have three children also, John. Yeah. And one of them teaches over at Kellenberg and high school. The role of Jesus in my life has, I would say, has a lot to do with that factor of the Marianist. I went to Chaminade High School, and they had a tremendous influence on me, and as it's carried over to my children, my son Brendan also went to Chaminade. Ryan went to Kellenberg. My daughter Bonnie went to Our Lady of Mercy. So Catholic school has been an important part of our lives and has helped us, you know, as a family to have the kind of values that I think are important to a family. You know, and listening to what Frank has said, it is important, and I think that, you know, not knowing how valuable we are to Jesus is just such a very, very difficult way to live. And, you know, unfortunately, I have a brother who I lost to suicide last January.
Oh.
And Clint was a person who refused God in his life. And we couldn't connect with him. And ironically, the night that he was committing suicide, I was at one of the men's groups at St. Killian's Church. And Anthony Gentile, one of our speakers at our conference this year, was talking about his own battle with depression and rage and anger and pornography and the things that were pulling him down and his, you know, decision to kill himself and what he was going through. And as I sat there, the only thing I could think was that, you know, my God, if my brother Clint could only open himself up to be able to hear this message. And the irony is the next morning I get a call that, you know, my brother was dead. So it's an important factor for men to be able to talk about the issues that they have. And I think that having religion in one's life is the missing ingredient. It's what people who are searching don't understand. And John, you were reading before a letter that you had that I thought was, you know, about guys just kind of sitting around and, you know, relying on themselves. And, you know, and I was thinking of my brother and how he felt so self-sufficient for so much of his life. And, you know, he was well off, but he was missing, you know, such vibrancy in his life, and said that he would change his life for mine in a heartbeat.
Well, Barry, first of all, I'm sorry about your loss. I didn't
Thank
know.
You.
Same here, Barry.
Yeah, really sorry, Barry.
Thanks.
But I do want to, since you mentioned that letter, we'll read the letter now, and then we're going to go, we have to do Saints Alive. We have a very busy agenda. Yeah. But, you know, this is to the realist who says he can do it on his own. And I got this in prayer, and I get a lot of words in prayer, but this one I thought was perfect for today. Dear realist, how is it going on your own? Are you having any fun yet? My offer is still on the table. If you accept, I'll help you my way. You lose control of your life, and we'll rule you by our love in you. That's true. That's what we do. We'll take over your view of life. We'll teach you our view of life. We know that's hard to accept, so we throw you some bones. We let you see previews of what you get. Well, what do you say? Are you coming our way? Is today your day? How many days must we wait? Say yes before it's too late. What's that? Religion is for women? Are you kidding? Get real. You bought a load of bull. Doesn't it stink? How long will you eat that swill? To know me internally, this is Jesus, know me internally takes guts. I guess you're chicken. So be a gutless wonder. Slide down your pole of life. Try drugs. Cheat on your wife. Porn might help. Watch football every Sunday. Live vicariously. Feel good through these options. What's the matter? You've tried some of these and you still feel rotten? You're looking for love. You want happiness. We know that. You know that. When you tire of doing things your way, let us know. We have eternity to wait for you. And you just have today. And even that's up for grabs. We want you men out there thinking about that. Because we're going to get back to the men's ministry. But Tony, we want you to get into Saints Alive so that you can begin to introduce these men to St. Blaise.
St. Blaise, we celebrated this Thursday, and he's the patron saint of throats. But what not many people know, he's also the patron saint of wool workers. I'll get involved in that down the line. But there are many legends about St. Blaise. Some have been authenticated, some haven't. Some say that he became a bishop in his teenage years, and some say that he was a doctor. St. Blaise was a 4th-century bishop who lived in Armenia and devoted himself to Jesus. And he became popular throughout the ages. Much of what is known about the life of St. Blaise comes from the legends about his life. However, historical proof exists that St. Blaise was martyred. In the past few weeks, some people have asked me, what do you mean by the saint was martyred? It simply means that that saint died for his conviction of Jesus and his faith. And so, he died in the year 316, and the legends surrounding St. Blaise states that he was forced into exile into the hills in the backcountry of his diocese. There he lived as a hermit, spending his days in prayer and doing penance. Legend also says that one of the products of Blaise's holiness was that even the worst animals, the wildest animals, became his companions without any harm to him. One day, hunters discovered St. Blaise while seeking wild animals and arrested him as a Christian. St. Blaise was taken to prison, but on the way, he interceded to God on behalf of a child that was choking to death on fish bones, and thus the patron saint of the throat. The child was cured, but Blaise was forced to continue on his way to prison. While in prison, St. Blaise confirmed that he was a Christian, and he was given the chance to take that away. He refused, and so he was tortured by having his flesh torn with iron combs from the rakes that wool workers used. And finally, St. Blaise was beheaded and granted entrance into heaven.
Thank you, Tony. You know, I only think of St. Blaise with the candles under my throat when I get blessed. And every year when I get blessed, I get a sore throat. I must be doing something wrong, I think. I'm not quite sure. Steve, you know, with the men's ministry, do you have any plans, new plans? I know we have a conference, but do you have other things that you have in mind as well?
Well, God only knows, right?
And that's called a cop-out.
In prayer, we figure we'll figure it out, or we'll get our signs. I've actually had what I believe is probably the next big thing next to the conference. I'd like to say just about the conference real quick. You know, the first year is an accomplishment. The second year, you know, we're celebratory, you know, that we got through another year. But the third year creates a tradition, and we're getting to our third year, which is tradition mode, which we're going to talk more about in a few minutes. But as far as future callings, I do believe that I'm being called to create a thing called the pilgrimage, the Catholic pilgrimage. I actually have already reserved the websites, and it's very strange how it works. I get websites in my head, and I reserve them. And I couldn't believe this one was available, and it is easterpilgrimage.com.org.net. I got them. And who would imagine that that's available? And the concept is, and the vision is, a way for Catholic families during Lent to share what Easter is all about, what Holy Week is all about. And we're planning on having it at the Shrine, Our Lady of the Isle out east. Father Roy has said it sounds like a good idea. I guess he's waiting for logistics. And it would be a drive-through, as cheesy as that sounds. I hate to say, make it sound cheap, but it's not, and I know it's not. It would be a drive-through Stations of the Cross.
Wow.
So that you could drive through, see video images, video being played, projected, and in your car you would have a CD that would go through each of the stations. And as you drove through, it would be on Friday and Saturday nights during Lent. I believe it's going to be between 7:30 and 9 during Lent. You can buy your tickets online and so on. It's all in the process, all in the works. And you'd be able to drive through and spend time as Catholics in your car with your kids explaining what the heck this Easter thing is all about, not just
Wonderful.
Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's going to be a 2012 event. I pray that the Knights may want to help. They don't even know it exists yet, or perhaps now they do, would want to help in that effort to move the cars through, to help set up. The vision's there. It's set in motion already, and with God's will, we'll be able to get that going for next year up at the Shrine. So, yeah, there's new things. There's always new things. And when we're done with that one, it's going to be, okay, here's next.
Well, you never know what happens when you do something like that.
Mm.
But if you do it and when you do it, let us know. We had the relics of St. Margaret Mary here this past August. We had 17,000 people pass through each of the churches where it was. And the Shrine had the largest crowd of all, and people stood in the rain with umbrellas over their head just to come in and say hi to St. Margaret Mary, who started the devotion to the Sacred Heart. So when you're ready, you let us know, and we'll publicize the living daylights out of
it. There you go.
We'll do the best we can.
Very good, very good.
Tell us about this year's conference. And Frank, you haven't left, have you?
No, I'm with you.
Okay. Hey, Frank. Frank, it's Steve. We haven't been formally introduced. I just wanted to say hello.
Oh, hey, Steve.
This year's theme is Fishers of Men.
Great.
And, you know, it's interesting you were talking about the church, John, you know, but before, you know, with regards to men being so distant from the church. And we're blessed with a very amazing archbishop of New York City. He actually came from Milwaukee. And we were invited to a breakfast to meet with him, and we did, Barry and I. And it's interesting, he said the largest growing group, you know, Catholicism, Catholics are the largest group in North America. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
Okay. Yeah. But the next largest group, quite honestly, is people who call themselves ex-Catholics.
Yes, that's right.
And but more interesting is that Archbishop Dolan believes that there, most men are only one chest pain away from becoming Catholics again.
I'd like to add to that.
I like that. I'm sorry. I'm enjoying that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Statistically, the members of the other denominations of the churches, 40% are ex-Catholics.
Yeah, well, that's how it works, and you know that's part of the reason why we enjoy men's ministry so much is because there's so many men that are not engaged, and we believe it's our calling to be fishers of men. I actually have a gift for you guys today, and you didn't even know I was going to do this.
We take bribes.
I'm going to give you a gift, and you're going to look at it, and you're going to say, "What the heck is this, Steve?" But what this is a shell from the shore of the Sea of Galilee.
Oh, thank you so much.
Give one to John for Frank.
Oh, that's right. Frank, I'm going to have one here for you, too. I'm going to give
you.
It over. And I was just on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and I was actually in a boat, the Jesus boat, where, you know, on Galilee, and on the shore where Jesus spoke to the disciples, where he engaged men and made them fishers of men. And that's our calling. This year's theme is everyday priests, everyday evangelism. And it's not pounding your fist on a Bible. It's the way we are. It's the way we treat others in ministry, in everyday occurrences, be it taking change from a cashier, be it moving ice for a senior. That is what it is all about. And this year's Fishers of Men theme is a multimedia theme where we're going to be doing the best of men's group tools. We're going to be talking about real men's stuff. We're going to be talking about pornography. We're going to be talking about things. Barry, why don't you talk about what you're going to, what your talk's going to be on?
I didn't know you wanted me to speak.
Now you know you signed up.
We'll skip over that.
What I will talk about is men dealing with depression in their lives, and it is significant, and it's a lot more of a problem than a lot of people want to believe, especially during difficult economic times. And it not only affects, you know, older men, but it affects a lot of younger men much more than it does older men. Kids that have come out of college and kids that are struggling to find jobs and that, you know, are, you know, working in places where, you know, they just don't get, you know, this whole work thing. And it's a significant struggle. And then as they begin to start families, it's a whole nother level. And so, you know, there is a factor of, you know, how coming to faith is the way, the guideposts that, you know, can be set to help men to do that.
That's going to be a great talk. We have a keynote speaker who is Joe Campo from Grassroots Films.
He's wonderful.
Yeah. He's going to be talking about his human experience. We're going to be showing his film.
The Human Experience.
We'll show clips from that, but we're also going to show the Fisher of Men video.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Which is really well done on the priesthood and so on. I'm going to be speaking on apologetics, and that was something that was brought to me through Archbishop Dolan, who said he was on his way to Long Island to talk to all of the high schools to give our kids the tools to be able to defend our faith so that we know what to say, to educate us in defending our faith. So that's the talk I intend on doing, God willing, of course.
The church is under attack today. There's no question that the church is under attack from so many different organizations and levels. Our society itself attacks the church every day with, you know, how, you know, I was struck by something, you know, quite disturbing last week when, with everything that was happening in Egypt, and I was with my wife and we're listening to the radio, and the lead story was not about Egypt, it was about Charlie Sheen, that he was, you know, brought into a hospital. I mean, you know, what kind of a craziness is this in our society that's the focus?
Barry, I think that's why Jesus wants us to evangelize. That's why Jesus wants us to join his army and become his disciple, because the church is so much under attack.
But we are so crippled spiritually, Tony. This is the challenge as men.
But we want to get out there.
We need to take St. Francis's words, which are preach gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Mm-hmm. So it's, we are to just be. We're human beings, not human doings. We have to stop forcing our will on things and be available to people. Stop looking down at your BlackBerry. Stop looking down at your iPhone. Stop texting in the middle of a meeting and a conversation and a phone call, and be present for people. Mm-hmm. So many people have such difficulty being present at any moment in their lives, and God is calling at that moment. The guy who talks to you right now could be thinking about taking his own life a couple hours later, and you don't know it. And that's the challenge today. We've got so much input. We need to put on our deflectors and say, cut it down and wake up and look and speak with other men. That's the important part. And so many of us can never be present. Even though you have a meeting or a discussion, they're not there.
I know.
So many of us are not. And the way you bring it all about is through prayer.
Can I want to add, though, you're talking about apologetics with the Stations of the Cross. I've often looked at the Mass on television, and I think of young people looking at that, and they must be saying, what really is going on there? Mm. And my thought has always been, why can't we just run a crawl across the bottom of the screen at every Mass, teaching and explaining that what's happening here is that bread and wine are being changed substantively into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. Mm. That's the core of our religion. Most of our people don't even know that.
Yep. Yeah,
when we did the display with the relics, we also had a display of true presence in the Eucharist. And I had people of all ages come up to me and say, are you really saying that Jesus is alive in that piece of bread and that cup of wine, and this is not a remembrance service? And I said, you're damn right. That's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, that's the center of it.
We need more explanatory masses. That's what that is, an explanatory mass. And the priests within our diocese can do that. I've asked our own pastor, you know, to consider doing that. That you don't have to do one mass and explain every aspect, but just to take one portion of each Mass and explain what is its relevance, where does this come from, what is the history, what is the tradition, where does it come from in the Bible, where is it from in Jesus' life, what is the reading that this is, you know, related from, and what was happening around it. I think that that's what, you know, we as Catholics, you know, can use also.
But that opportunity is coming up, guys.
No, it is.
It is. That opportunity is coming up because they've rewritten.
They have.
A lot of our prayers, right, throughout the Mass.
It's all
even at
be
the
taught.
Consecration. And it's not anymore, it's not embarrassing to open up the Missal and read the words. And it's a perfect opportunity for our priests to explain what's going on throughout. Mm-hmm. And God, that's perfect.
Yeah.
So who knows, that was because of the whole, you know, the whole Vatican II. They rushed through it, apparently, and they didn't get it exactly right. So for those of you who are listening who don't know what's going on, 2012, I believe, they're going to start reading. There are going to be nuances, changes, slight changes in the wording of our regular prayers throughout the Mass. And get ready. It's great because the church lady is not going to sing anymore. She's got to read. And she's going to be looking down just like you, me, and everybody else, because we're all humbled by that, because we don't have it all by memory. And it's great. It's perfect. It's perfect for all of us to step up as men and teach our families, and we'll teach you that. We'll actually give you the new stuff. Hey, Barry, I like that one. We'll give them the new stuff for the new masses, and we'll talk about it at our conference.
Sure.
I think that'll be kind of cool.
That's a revelation, Steve. That's a lot of people don't know about this.
Yeah.
And maybe worth their while if they start looking into it and start reading the new readings.
And that's also why we have the saints and why we have the healers on these radio programs. Because a lot of people don't believe that if you pray to a saint, that you can have them intercede and pray for you, and you can get healing from it. Mm. We're going to talk in a few minutes about Padre Pio, who was our healer of the day. He's also a saint. And some of the miracles that happen after the guy died.
Fantastic.
And those miracles are what, Frank, get your dog under control.
No, that was Tony. That was,
he's getting hungry.
But it's really quite something. I just feel so strongly about one other area. We've got to get the young people, Bishop, Archbishop, and Bishop Murphy, we got to get them to understand that God is a person alive, and he wants to interact with us, and he wants us to be in touch with him. He'll talk to our hearts. He'll talk to our minds. He'll fill our spirits.
They need God.
They
got to
know that.
My daughter, when she was in middle school, came to me, and she had been public school, and she said, Dad, I want to go to Holy Trinity High School. She says, I've got to deal with so much drama in school now, and now going to high school gets even worse. I'd rather be in a formal drama program. And God bless her. That's the best thing she's done, aside from all the other wonderful things. But she's there with a faithful community, which is wonderful. Before we go to the saint of the day.
Miracle.
Right. Well, I'm sorry. I'd like to just mention our email address and our website.
Go ahead.
Is that all right? Our website is www.catholicmensministry.net.
Say it again.
catholicmensministry.net. And our email address is info@catholicmensministry.net. And we get that those emails. So anybody that's out there and needs more information or wants to visit the site, you can sign up for our email list, which is great, right on the bottom of the page. We have a reminder there for the conference, but we're going to get into the billing, the ticketing, and all that other good stuff within the next couple of weeks. We've got it all down, and we'll be putting that out shortly.
You know the cost of the tickets yet?
We believe it's going to be $30 for the day. Okay. That goes to the ministry, and that pays for speakers and have them travel and all that other good stuff. We're hoping to maybe make it a little bit cheaper, but we have expenses to cover throughout the year, quite honestly, with regards to men's ministry.
What about vendors? Is there anyone out there aspiring to be a vendor to sell religious articles? So you're going to have vendors at the conference?
We're going to have lots of vendors. Yeah. I think we're going to recruit you, Tony, to get some vendors.
Oh, my. Maybe I should have kept my mouth shut.
There you go. We know you.
Sounded like a volunteerism to me.
This year what we're doing a little different also is we're going to, God willing, again, have Curcio there. Have marriage encounters there, and perhaps even PFI. The diocese has been so darn supportive.
Oh, they wouldn't.
God bless Bishop Murphy. You know, he's been doing.
It was there last
very
year?
Supportive. Brother James McVeigh. You know, McVeigh has been great from
God
the
bless Brother James.
Yeah, he's been doing a wonderful thing, and I think we have a new spiritual director for the ministry, Father Lachlan Cameron. I think he's going to be our guy. We have a meeting coming up with him next week. So they've been wonderful and wonderfully supportive with this ministry. So we're very, very appreciative.
Well, we're not finished with you guys yet, but we do want to get into Padre Pio because healers are important to us. And Padre Pio had a wonderful, wonderful gift of miracles. And I have just a couple that I want to bring to your attention because this happened after he died. A woman by the name of Carmela DiMartino. She had excruciating pain in her chest and in her stomach, and she felt as though her insides were being torn apart. And she waited a day or so, and she went one day after taking her daughter to school. She stopped at a sister's house, and the sister saw the painful swelling the size of a grapefruit that had formed in Mrs. DiMartino's neck. And the two women rushed to the hospital, and they said that she had a rupture of the lymphatic canals. And immediate surgery was advised, but Consiglio decided, no, I want to pray as well. So she went to Modesto Fucci, who was a friend of Padre Pio. And Padre Pio said, listen, he knew he was going to die. He even predicted the day of his death. But he said, Modesto, anyone who comes to you with a petition, I'll try to make sure that that gets handled. So she went to Modesto and she said, would you please pray for Consiglio? And he rushed to the graveside of Padre Pio and prayed for her rapid recovery. One day later, the fluid deposit in her neck and the pain lessened. And then even a day after that, all the swelling was completely gone, and x-rays showed no adverse effects to what had happened to her as a result of the illness. And she was healed. And this was the healing, the first healing, that allowed Padre Pio to become blessed Padre Pio. You have to have something that happens after the saint dies. All right? Another man, the mother of Matteo Colella, was praying for her son who had meningitis and he was dying. And while the staff was praying over him, they thought they were preparing for him to die. And the mother prayed for to Padre Pio. And then she had a sense in a dream that Padre Pio had come to her son. After that dream, the son awakened, and the impossible happened. And when he awakened, he described a near-death experience in the presence of an old bearded man in a long brown robe, fitting the dead Padre Pio's description. The old man had told him not to worry, and he was going to be all right. The child was soon playing PlayStation in intensive care. It's amazing how these things happen. The doctors examined what they called the miracle, and it was established by a committee that it was, and Pope John Paul accepted that. And that was the miracle that allowed Padre Pio to become a saint. And when he was made a saint, over 300,000 people went into St. Peter's Square. One last one I want to do just before we move on. A person by the name of Gemma Di Giorgi. I'm not Italian, Steve. Maybe you can help me with some of these names, all right? He was born and he couldn't see. He had no pupils in his eyes. And a nun suggested that the parents go to Padre Pio. And they did. This is when he was alive. And to make a long story short, the boy got his vision back, and the doctors looked and said, "This is impossible. He has no pupils in his eyes. How can he see?" And that was the gift of healing that Padre Pio had. You know, I like to include that in each show because people need encouragement to pray to the saints and to realize that they'll heal them and intercede for them.
I almost feel like I'm cheating when I try to pray to the saints.
If you go to the boss?
If I go to I'd rather go to the boss, I guess, and people have had such great success, using old manly words, such great success. Using the saints or praying to the saints, my goodness.
But Jesus always, before Jesus went into any of the towns, he always sent his apostles and disciples ahead to heal.
Yeah.
That was what brought the people to come to listen to Jesus. It was the healing that took place. He would go after the sick. You know, I always find it amazing that, you know, the individuals that Jesus focused on were not, you know, the priests, were not the holy people in any of the places that he visited. It was always the ones that were the sinners. It was the ones that were sick, the ones that were in pain, whether it was emotional pain or physical pain. Mm-hmm. And those were the people that, you know, he came to and were helping. And we talk about the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and, you know, we realize that, you know, they were the priests of that day. They were considered themselves to be the holy men. And Jesus didn't look on them with very much favor.
Maybe that's why he chose us to evangelize. And to get out there and get the word, without a doubt.
I wanted to tell you guys a story which I learned while I was over in the Holy Land, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
So we're standing over there, and Father Roy was telling us a little bit about the olive trees that were in Gethsemane. And those olive trees are over 2,000 years old, believed to be there from the time when Jesus was in the garden. And one of the things about an olive tree is that it can only exist when it lets the inside out. It's an ectoskeletal tree. Now, we compare that to men nowadays. Men nowadays are like mighty oaks, big and strong. But when there's rotting in the middle of a mighty oak, at some point it falls. The only way an olive tree, and an oak will last for 100, 150 years max. That's the lifestyle, that's the life expectancy of an oak. But an olive tree grows by allowing the inside to fall out. All of that stuff on the inside to get out and let God, let the air, the ruach, go in. And we as men need to learn that. To stop internalizing all the stuff. To stop holding on to harboring all of those issues, concerns, and control that we try to expend on life and on every situation, and put it more to prayer and let God into our lives. So the Fishers of Men, this year's theme is to bring men to ministry to other men. And you don't need to be a priest to do it. God bless our priests. God bless our deacons, especially you, Frank. But every day you are called to minister to other people in your everyday life. And that's what we're going to teach men and help men to do throughout the diocese. So what is the men's ministry's objectives, goals and objectives? Because that's the way we're wired. We need to have some reason to exist sometimes. It's to be able to help other men to create ministry, to improve their ministries, help live God's word in being fishers of men. And that's what we intend to do with this conference, and we know we will do in our third annual conference at Holy Trinity High School on April 16th, just this year, it's Saturday. It's a beautiful day as well. Bishop Murphy will be saying Mass at noon because it's Palm Sunday, and it wouldn't be appropriate for a man not to show up at Mass with his family that day. So he's going to be doing it at the Saturday Mass, and then you're brought into Holy Week. Holy Week, which is a wonderful thing for us to experience right after the conference as you're on fire with the Lord.
And I know it's going to be quite a phenomenal day. We like to spend time at the end of each show praying for those who have asked for healing and sent in their petitions to us. So can we just hold hands? And Frank, can you reach out through the wire and grab my hand?
I got it.
Just don't grab my left hand, because the first time I prayed in a group for healing, the woman on my left hand went home and died. So I just didn't get Tony, he got my left hand, you're in trouble. Jesus, we ask you to allow us to come into your presence now, Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to flow through these airwaves and flow into the hearts and the souls and the minds of all of those who listen. We ask you, Lord, watch over David, who goes for surgery Monday with the removal of the rib because of cancer. We're just so concerned. We know you have plans to heal him, Lord, but make it fast. Make it fast. And Jesus, we ask you to be at David's right hand, and the Blessed Mother be at his left hand, and the Holy Spirit guide the scalpel of those doctors so that David can be set free of cancer. His five-year-old boy can live a life fully alive in your love. And I also still want to pray again for Liz, who is going for surgery to have her head fused to her spinal column. She has tiara disease. And it's a terrible, terrible ordeal that she has. Constant dizziness and rapid heartbeat. And we just pray, Lord, that you bless her. And for the two mothers who have lost lost their daughters to suicide. We pray also, Lord, for all the men who
somehow or other think football is more important than being with you. Would you motivate them, Lord? Motivate them to come back to the church to receive the sacrament of reconciliation and then come to your true presence in the Eucharist. We need them, Lord. Their families need them to lead their families back to you and to fill them with your love and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for being here. Thank you, Lord, for blessing all of the petitions that are on the table before us. We thank you, Lord, for the healthy question of God.
Thank you, Lord. The 11-year-old Michael, bless you, had a problem hitting the ankle playing hockey. And we prayed over him. And John told us that his ankle wasn't broken, but he was in pain. And we prayed that he didn't have pain. And his pain left. Next day he played hockey, and we gave him a bonus and scored a goal. So thank you, Lord. Thank you so much.
Lord, I'd like to have you pray for those men who are perhaps distraught over the job situation. I want you to know, guys, God's in it. Perhaps there's a new career waiting for you. Perhaps there's another direction. Understand it's going to be okay. You simply need to pray to see what direction it is that you need to go. Those people are in your lives for a reason. Turn to them.
And we have to learn to pray and touch all those who are sick, all those who have illnesses, so that they can, like Frank, become an inspiration to others. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for Frank and for his devotion to you and being a deacon and leading people to you and being online with his ministries. We praise you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you, Jesus, for these good men and you working through their hearts. We ask you, Lord, to increase our faith. Please help us to pray for more faith every second of every day.
Running out of time, and we could go on praying, and we will go on praying. We have just a few moments left close up our shop today. Tony, you had a few things you wanted to bring up?
Yes. We'd like you to keep sending us your petitions, your cards, your letters. We love them when we get them. We read each and every one of them. We respond. Our email address is listenup1240@aol.com. That's listenup1240@aol.com, listenup1240 @aol.com. We acquiesce to every email we get, and you'll get a response. And also, very quickly, I'm getting some questions on what your next gig is there, Dr. Palmer. So maybe you can tell us where you're
quickly,
next.
I'm going to be the second Monday of each month. I'm always at Our Lady of Grace in Manhasset for an evening of prayer and instruction. And once a month, I'm at St. Ignatius Retreat House for a healing mass. But we invite anyone to come. Come on over and join us. And folks, we're just about out of time.
I don't have any gigs, but I'll be at St. Catherine giving away free Bibles and free and free rosaries.
Amen. Gentlemen, thank you. Steve.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Harry. Frank, thank you.
We had quite a play day.
Thanks a lot, folks.
And folks, this is the first time we've done it live, and we survived. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
All right. Take care, guys.